It's interesting because the way that the question is asked of Jesus, the burden is on the one who has been harmed. Do you see that? Peter asks about his brother. I assume he's talking about Andrew, right? How many times must I forgive my brother? He's wronged me again. Do I need to forgive him again? And Jesus says, yes. The burden of forgiveness is on you. You owe forgiveness to him. And then he goes into this parable. I've talked about this parable before. The huge amount is literally that. I mean, it's a day's salary times 100 and some years of working every single day. It is an incredible amount of money. The man asks for patience, but does not receive patience. Rather than receiving patience, receives forgiveness for the debt. He did not ask for that. He asked for patience, and he said, I will pay you back in full. The master dismissed him and forgave everything. It is this that we must capture, because I only can understand the actions of the man as one who has left the presence of his master and is now going to get the money to pay him back. But that's not what he is supposed to be about. His debt to the master has been completely forgiven. He is not going out in order to try and get money from those who owe him so that he can pay back the master. This is what seems to be his actions. Why? What is the motivation? He has not received the forgiveness that was given to him. He's still holding the debt to himself for the master. My brothers and sisters, when you are forgiven from God, if you simply hold the debt as not forgiven, but one that I must pay him back with, look at the results. Look at the actions of a man who is still holding the debt to himself. These are not the actions of one who is set free. When you enter the confessional and you are forgiven, you are forgiven. Penance is a demonstration to God of your desire to turn again, to begin anew, to express your sorrow. But it is not, okay, 16 payments of this, 16 payments of that. You do all of these things and your debt is cleared. Sometimes I have to remind people in the confessional, when I give a penance, they are forgiven in that moment, whether they complete the penance or not. It is not conditional. Your forgiveness in the confessional is not conditional on you completing the penance. I realized I had to speak into that when someone would go to confession and they'd hear a daily mass and they wouldn't come up for communion. And I would afterwards be like, you do realize you're forgiven, right? Well, yeah, but you said for my penance, I have to go do some kind act for my spouse or for my mom or my dad, and I haven't done that yet. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You are forgiven in that moment. Penance is the demonstration. Penance is the demonstration of living in that truth, that you have received that merciful love. The intention of the master to that servant was that the giving of his pity, the giving of his mercy, the hope was that in receiving the gift, he would be changed. He walked in as a dead man and left alive. But his actions did not flow from this new reality that he possessed. Rather, he was still trying to pay back the debt, still not receiving the forgiveness, not allowing the master's mercy to change his heart and his disposition to his fellow servant who owed him. There is an invitation in this, my brothers and sisters, a very profound invitation to be changed by the love of God. We see fingerprints of that all over the first reading as well. This is from the prophet Daniel. You know, the story of the three that were thrown into the fire, right? And then there was a fourth that appeared. They were unharmed by the flames of the fire. This prayer comes forth from the mouth of one who is walking around inside a blazing furnace. That the men who bound them and threw them into the furnace because it had been heated so much, they were killed in throwing them into the furnace. And now this man is walking about in the midst of an absolute inferno of fire. And is making this prayer to God that he would be received as an offering. Because everything of the rites and the rituals of all of the temple sacrifice and all of that has been taken from them. And there is a purity here in this moment that he realizes, a purity. All I have to give is me. And so receive me as an offering. The love of God for us is a burning fire. And no one can take you and offer you as a sacrifice. But you, in your freedom, in your will, only you can make an offering of yourself. And this offering of yourself is not one that is something other than you. Here, take my dog. Here, take my cat. Here, take all my books. Throw them in the fire. Here's the other things I love. My hobbies, my relationships. Here, take all of this. No, what he wants is you. He doesn't want your things. He wants you. And only you could make an offering of you. And it is a burning fire, my brothers and sisters. An intense burning fire of God's love. Only you can make yourself a holocaust of love. But know this, if you say yes, you cannot remain the same. That servant in receiving the mercy of his master was not to remain the same. He was to be radically changed in the receiving of that mercy. Now is the time for us to be radically changed in the receiving of the gift of his love. No one can offer you. Only you can offer yourself. Amen.